Records today. I had a large bottle of Nesedin Yerodesha this morning. From play by chance, I had a big bottle. And I looked at the end of the share. I finished the bottle. So last week we tried to give a little bit of a hakdama for the Malachis Choresh, what's the really defining feature of Choresh. And we quote the Bryce on Gimel with Beis and Shabbos. Read over this line again quickly. Right in the middle of the page, the Gemara says, HaChoresh, Tana, we learned in the Bryce, HaChoresh, HaChofa, HaChoretz, Kulim Malach HaAfasen. All three of these different activities are included in the Malach of Choresh. One is actual Choresh per se, for plowing, for the purpose of planting, Chofa, the person who digs a hole, and Choretz, the person who makes a furrow. He causes the type of a hole to be made in the ground. That's also considered to be included in the Malach of Choresh. So most of us are not all that involved in actual Choresh. Everyone throws, do dig holes, but the part of Choresh that I really want to speak about tonight is the third part, and that's Choresh, the making of a furrow, the causing of a making, an indentation in the ground. So the Gemara considers that to be included in the Malach of Choresh. Now, most of us are not going to do it in the normal way of Choresh. The Shah that we're going to deal with tonight is the issue of causing a charitz, causing a furrow in the ground through dragging something, particularly dragging a chair, dragging a bench, or perhaps wheels, a wheelchair, a bicycle, things of that nature. What is the halacha? Is that considered to be included in Malachas Choretz or not? So one has to ask a really basic question about all these types of quasi-chalitzas that we sometimes bump into in our lives. Is this a shal of Choretz Daraisa? Is this really included in the Av Malacha, the Yisra Daraisa that the Bryce is talking about? But perhaps all the Choretz that we are accustomed to, the dragging of things from the ground, maybe that's at worst only Choretz Midr Abban or only Choresh Midr Abbanon. Maybe we can invoke the principle of Malacha Shloki Darach. But maybe that's considered to be not the normal way of Charisha. So even if a person drags a chair, a heavy chair, and lo and behold, he's making an indentation in the ground, maybe worst case scenario that was only in Yisra Darabban. And that's really the gist of the question. So the answer to that question is going to spill over to a whole series of different Gemaras in Masechta Shabbos. And as we saw last week, that just because we're limiting ourselves to the Malach of Choresh doesn't mean that we're really limiting ourselves to that. We're going to try to use this just simple question in Hilchos Choresh as a springboard to discuss a whole series of Klalim in Masechta Shabbos. So let's start really with the Sugya begins on Daf Mem Vav. Sugya begins on Daf Mem Vav on the days. And as common in Masechta Shabbos, in Shabbat Shas, that's not even really the topic of the sugya. The Gemara is not really addressing the issue of Choresh or Choretz per se. The Gemara is discussing a statement of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon happened to have made a statement in Hilchos Muks of all places. There was a machlekes ha-tanoim. If a person has a candle, now a candle in the olden days meant like, I guess, closer as our oil menorahs. He had a cup full of oil and a wick, and it was burning, and now the flame goes out. So the question is whether the remaining oil is muktzeh on Shabbos or not. So again, we're not learning muktzeh right now. Complicated machlokes with Rabbi Shimon whether you're allowed to take that oil and go use it for your salad dressing Shabbos morning. So comes the Gemara and says, I'm in Vav Amaveis, that four lines from where the wide lines begin. First one line is Chacham. So Rami le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Abaye asked Rav Yosef the following question. Mi amar Rabbi Shimon kibsa mutal utalpala. Is it true that Rabbi Shimon was of the opinion that when the candle goes out, so it's not considered to be muktzah? Rabbi Shimon denies that aspect of muktzah. The implication would be kibsa in lo kibsa lo, that the only time Rabbi Shimon permitted the oil was because the candle already went out. But what if the candle is still burning? Would Rabbi Shimon permit one to actually carry a lit candle on Shabbos? So the implication is no, because Rabbi Shimon says kipsamot l'papla, so clearly implying that lo kipsama. So the Gemara says, why should that be so? My time. What in the world is wrong with carrying a lit candle on Shabbos? Stop for a minute and ask yourself, what is the Gemara kidding? You're allowed to carry a candle that's lit? So Gemara says, yeah, why not? What's wrong with it? So Gemara says, the only thing the Gemara can dig up at this point is, no pun intended, Vilma Bahari din Nokatla Kipsa. But maybe, as the person is carrying it, so he may cause it to become extinguished. Now, Kibli is an Av Malacha, so maybe we should say that it's also to carry it, because through carrying it's going to cause Kibli. Says the Gemara, no, that's not a good reason. Hashaminim Leila Rabbi Shimon, Tiyama Davar Shemis Kavin Mutar. The Gemara says that we know that Rabbi Shimon happens to be of the opinion that Davar Shemis Kavin is permissible. We spoke about this last week, that according to Rabbi Shimon, you're permitted to do an action, even though there's a chance that a malacha may take place. As long as I'm not intending for the malacha to happen, that's perfectly okay. So to over here, I want to carry the candle. I want to blow up the candle. Even though there's a chance that the candle may be extinguished, that's not my problem. That's a classic Davar Shemis Kavin. This Anya. And how do we know that Rabbi Shimon says Davar Shemis Kavin is Mutar? So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gora Adam Kise Mita Vesavso, Ubuvach Lais Kavim Asos Charitz. Rabbi Shimon says that a person is permitted to drag a chair or a bed or a bench, provided that he doesn't intend to make a charitz. If he intends to make a charitz, then a furrow, then that's Malachas Chorish, as we just learned before. So provided that he doesn't intend to do it, then it's going to be totally Mutar. So this is the Gemara's kasha. How can Rabbi Shimon, on the one hand, prohibit carrying a lit candle? Rabbi Shimon only was marked after it went out. He wasn't concerned with Mutar. But Kol Zman that it was lit, Rabbi Shimon prohibited carrying it. So that indicates that Rabbi Shimon seems to say Davar Shein Miskaven is also. Whereas here, when it comes to Asiyas Charitz, Rabbi Shimon says Davar Shein Miskaven is Mutar. So comes the Gemara with the following suggestion for a teretz. Kol Heicha Dechi Mechavein Ikei Surah De'araisa Ki Lo Mechavein Gaz Rabbi Shimon Midrabanan. If a person would do a particular action Bekavana, we would be dealing with the De'araisa. So if he does it Shaloi Bekavana, that's considered to be an Issa De'rabanan. So even Rabbi Shimon holds that Davar Shein Miskaven is not a freebie. Davar Shein Miskaven is not totally Mutar. It depends on what type of an Issa we're talking about. If we're dealing with a Malacha De'araisa, so then Rabbi Shimon says that a Davar Shein Miskaven is a problem. Kol Eicha Dechi Mechaven Ika Isura De'rabanan Ki Lo Mechaven Shor Rabbi Shimon Lechatchila. In a situation where the Issa involved is only an Issa De'rabanan anyway, so Bechi HaGavna, under these circumstances, Rabbi Shimon would permit it totally lechatchila. So therefore there's no contradiction between the two cases. In the case of the candle, if the person would intentionally put out the candle, presumably that would be a deraisa, that would be kibud deraisa. So Rabbi Shimon says a davash and miskaven of a deraisa is problematic. In the case of asiyas charitz, it's called asugya, it's only derabanan. Even if you would intentionally make a charitz, it would only be derabanan. What do you mean it would only be derabanan? Didn't we learn in Ayin Dal and Ayin Gimel that charitz is b'chal choresh? So clearly what the Gemara is saying is, as Rashi points out, this is considered to be a chol for kiliachayad, and making a charitz through the usage or through the dragging of a chair, that is not real bona fide charitz. If you make it using the materials, using the instruments that are usually used to make a charitz, Rashi quotes a bar of a kardom with a shovel, with a hoe, with charisha utensils, that's charitz deraisa. Making it through dragging of a chair is only derabanan, and therefore Rabbi Shimon permitted a davar shein miskaven on an effect on a derabanan. So that's what the Gemara says, at least at this point. The Gemara eventually rejects this. The Gemara concludes eventually that Rabbi Shimon permitted davar shein miskaven even on a deraisa. The Gemara has a bright of Mishnah that says the favorish that Rabbi Shimon was mad to davar shein miskaven legamre, and the Gemara eventually comes up with some other technical answer in terms of the candle and the oil. Again, we're not learning mukta, so we're going to try to leave out the details of this sugya. The part of the sugya that we want to, of course, extract is this one half a line. When the Gemara called choreitz al yedei kisei mikra v'safso, it is a drabanu. At that stage in the sugya, the Gemara was trying to defend Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara was making an assumption that choreitz using a chair is only an iser drabanu. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, does that assumption of the Gemara stand lemaskana? Now, that teretz in the Gemara does not stand lemaskana. At the end of the day, the Gemara rejected this altar. So at the end of the day, the Gemara had a different deer of Bidas or Bishimon. But that particular prop in the Sugya may or may not stand. This is really a quality sticker shayla. You have this all the time. You have a Gemara, you have a Shakwatar, and the Gemara makes some kind of an assumption. It tells us a tremendous Chiddush, and then the Gemara rejects it on technical grounds. So the question is true, the Gemara rejected it in the context of the Sugya, but it may be true anyway. That particular Nakuda may or may not be true. So what's the din? What is the halacha? Is choretz kliach hayad considered to be? I'm sorry. Is choretz for the mita kisa v'salsa considered to be sufficiently kliach hayad to label it as being a derabanan? Or no? Maybe that long of the gemara ishalak the halacha. Maybe it really is deraisa. So the answer to this question appears to be a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos.
Even if
you're mechaven, right? Because it's kliach hayad, right? So the answer to this question seems to be a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. But as usual, it's not a machlekes in Masechta Shabbos. Not only is it not in that parak, it's not even in that Masechta. It's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Masechta Yuma and Daf Lamed Aleph. We'll try to stay over the sugya a little bit outside in Masechta Yuma. So the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Yuma that he used to have a problem sometimes in the Beis Hamikdash and Yom Kippur. He couldn't go though. Sometimes as an older man, sometimes, you know, he had a late Yom Kippur, the end of October, up there in Yerushalayim, you know, not such a good heating system in the Beis Hamikdash, and it's not that cold. So here in Nebuch the Kohen Gadol, he has to be tovel 5 times in the Beis Hamikdash. It's cold. So what do you do? How can we heat up the water for the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara comes up with a kunz. The Gemara says you can take hot metal, take the metal rods and throw it into the water, and that it's not going to mamish cook the water. The Bishul Mayim is also in Yom Kippur, but it'll take out the chill of the water. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, how are you going to do that? Isn't that involved in malacha? Taking a hot metal and throwing it into water, that's considered to be what's called metzaref. That means that, according to at least the way many of you should have learned, that's a problem of makah b'patish. That when you take the hot metal and you put it into cold water, that hardens the metal. That causes the metal to complete whatever process you're trying to do. So that's going to be a smacks of a malacha of metzaref. That's the Gemara's kasha in Yuma. So the Gemara says, no, it's not really a problem because it's a davar shein miskaven. Because when they threw the hot metal into the water or the mikvah, the Beis HaMikdash, they weren't interested, obviously, in being metzaref the metal. They wanted just to take the chill out of the water, and therefore it's mutter. We're going to get in a second. So the Gemara gets into trouble, even forgetting about Sigresha. The Gemara says, the Tana who records this tradition, and that's what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash, was none other than Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, that they used to throw the hot metal into the water. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, wait a second, Rabbi Yehuda, you're a Dorosh and Miskaven, offer the command. You're the Bar Pluk of Rabbi Shimon. So according to you, I think you tell us a story that they used to throw the hot metal in. Chzavah Shenem is Kavin. That's the Gemara's Kash and Masechus Yuma. To which the Gemara answers a very vague terrorist. The Gemara says, no, it's only Derabbanan, and therefore what? Therefore everything's okay. That's what the Gemara says. Shiny Hosam, the only Derabbanan. The question is, what in the world does that mean? Shiny Hosam, that it's only Derabbanan. So comes Rashi in Yuma Das Lamadal and says the Pshat of the Gemara is as follows. We know that there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether Dover Shem Miskaven is Osir or whether it's Mutter. That's the machloikis about are you allowed to drag a chair. Maybe that's the machloikis you're allowed to carry a candle. We have machloikis in Uluch Shabbos. Is Dover Shem Miskaven Mutter or is Dover Shem Miskaven Osir? Comes Rashi and says, in one fell swoop, when did Rabbi Yehuda say Dover Shem Miskaven is Osir? That's only when you're dealing with the Daraisa. But if you're dealing with the Derabbanan, so says Rashi, forget it. Then there's no Isra of Davar Shenem Miskaven, even Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rashi's shot in the Gemara Maseches Yuma. So comes Tosfos and asks on Rashi, wait a second, if that's true, what was the original Machlekes Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon? Was the question of dragging a chair. Gor Adam Kisei Mikdeh V'Sasol. Rabbi Shimon said it's Mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's Osir. Comes Tosfos and says, this is not a Deraisa. This is also Derabbanan, as it says, Beferish and Shabbos, and Daphne Vava Medeiros. So now we're in for trouble. L'chare Teres is right. L'chare, the Gemara says Beferish, that Gereiros Kisei Mita V'Safsal is only Derabbanan, and Afila B'chi HaGavna, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's a problem. So L'chare, you see that Rashi is wrong. So what's Pshat in Rashi? So comes Rabbi Kiveger and Rabbi Zuma and says, the answer is Pashat, that according to Rashi, the Maskonas HaGemara Aliba Aliba Diemis, the Mamish at the end of the day, the Maskonas HaGemara is that the Mamish at the end of the day, the Maskonas HaGemara is is that Asiyas Charif is an Issa D'Araisa. That the making of a pharaoh, Al Yedei Kureiris Kisei Mitzvah Tasafso, is really an Issa D'Araisa. It's not an Issa D'Rabbanan. Right? The Gemara threw out the possibility that it's a D'Rabbanan. The Gemara rejected it at the end.
Sorry to interrupt you. I have to go back to Brooklyn. I'm going to be very late. Sorry, I have four children in a foster home. My oldest son is in diagnostic center. I have a letter from Mordechai Kendler and Rob Benuvier. I'm going to get a letter from the rich kid. I just filled up the form. Sorry to interrupt you. Thank you very much, because I have to go to Brooklyn. It's going to be very late. Sorry about that. Thank you very much. I hope I should fulfill all your wishes. Have a lot of success. Naches. Thank you very much. Toda rabba.
The Gemara in Gimel Amud Bet also the white because the Gemara says it's all Chayim Nishum Achat. All Melachot.
No, but yeah, real Choretz would be Deraisa. There's no question about that. But the question is if you do Choretz with a Kisei Mitzvah Vesachos, that's Deraisa. That's the question.
Maybe the Gemara in Yuma meant that.
That tells us, Pshat. That tells us, Pshat. About this big in Yuma, it says that Pshat. It says that the whole din of Darshan is Kavan is only a din derabanan.
Right.
So the Mele b'Meisim Mikdash is going to be Mut because Ein Shpus for Mikdash. Right? Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that Rabbi Yehuda was only Mechayav Darshan is Kavan by the Araisa, not by the Rabbanan. So I, the Kashi from Rashi from Agamara and Daphne and Bava Reveis, so comes Rabbi Kivagan and says, Akkach, Rashi learned that that was not the Maskana Sagama. But lechar, we have to ask ourselves a much more basic question according to Shittas Rashi. What's the Bira Dover? Why should it be so that Rabbi Yehuda only asked Dover Shenim is Kavim by the Araisa and not by the Rabbanan? What's the Bira Dover? So whether you have a Kash from the Gemara, you don't have a Kash from the Gemara, but in terms of Lomdas, in terms of Svar, why should that be so? If according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dover Shenim is Kavim is Asar, why should it make a difference whether the Issa that we're dealing with is the Araisa or the Rabbanan? So comes Rabbi Kivega with a phenomenal chiddush. Comes Rabbi Kivega and says, "What does this mean according to Rabbi Yehuda? Dovish and his kavan is also. How could it be? Self call self. When I'm dragging the chair, I don't know that a chiddush is going to be made. So nidei sveika lo nafka." Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, when you have a Dover Shen and Miskaven, that's not called a Suffolk Issa. Dover Shen and Miskaven means it's Mutal Gamri. Suffolk Issa means that I have a piece of meat in front of me, I'm not sure it's a kosher, it's a tray, so Suffolk the Rise of the Chumra. Dover Shen and Miskaven means that I'm going to do something that may or may not result in the future in a Navera, that's called a Dover Shen and Miskaven. That's not a Suffolk the Rise, that's totally Mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says that a Dover Shein and Miskaving is Asur, but it's the nature of the Yisra, the Gedu of the Yisra, it's not a Bitter Sofek. It's not a Vada Yisra there, I think, because self call self, when I do the action, I don't know if the Navera is going to happen. So therefore comes with the Kivegma and says, yeah, that's the Beer in Das Rashi. That Sofek, the Sofek, there is Lachumra, but Sofek, there Abonim is going to be Lakula. So whenever you're dealing with, at worst case scenario, it's only the Rabbanan anyway, such as Asiyas, the case of Mitzarif and the Gemara Masef Azum according to Rashi, or over here, where if according to Rashi, at least at that stage, that Asiyas Charitz would be a Deraisa, then Rabbi Yehuda asked it. But if Asiyas Charitz is a Derabbanan, then Rabbi Yehuda would not answer it. The reason is because Sofik Derabbanan is going to be the Kula. So we're a Marviach, an interesting Yisoid, based on Mitzarif, based on Rabbi Kivegar, that even the biggest machmir of Yehuda only has the Dover Shein Miskaven b'Torah Sofek. But Lechora, we don't want to spend all that much time b'Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. It would be nice also, but we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Shimon that Gorei Adam Mitah Kisei Mitah V'Safso. That whether Choreitz, this is called Kliyachiyad or not called Kliyachiyad, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be Mutter anyway because it's a Dover Shein Miskaven. But Lechora, we have to now give equal time, even more time, to Shitas Rabbi Shimon. This din that it's mutter to drag a chair, it's a Dover Shein Miskaven, is there any exception to that rule? So comes the Gemara on Daf Chaf Tes of the days of Masechta Shabbos. And tells us the following. It's about 7 or 8 lines up from the Mishnah from the bottom. The first one is the low Epshin. Towards the middle of the line, the Omer Ula, machlokas b'ktanim, but b'gedolim devri akol mutter. Ula is commenting on the machlokas of Yudin Rabbi Shimon about dragging chairs, and Ula says the following chiddush that when did they have a machlokas that was only if the chair is small, but if the chair is large, then everybody agrees that it's mutter. What's the svar l'chalek? Mr. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda was only machmir on the davar shenem miskaven when it's efshir b'lav ochi. That means you could avoid it. So if it's a mita which is small, so why drag it on the floor and take a chance of making a charitz? Pick it up. But if it's a gadol, it's so big, there's no other way to pick it up, so you have to drag it. So Nebuchadnezzar is going to be making. That's Rashi's pshat in the Gemara. So Rabbi Eliezer Mimit is quoted by the Rishonim, the Sefer Yireim, who had a different gears in the Gemara. Small technical gears of change. According to him, the gears are said as follows: Amar Ula, Machlokas b'ktanim, Avabagdolim d'vrekol osar. No, small difference. Like they say, the two gears of the Seder are different. Our gears is lo tirtzach, lo sinach, lo signach, and the other gears is tirtzach, kinna, signa. So Tosus even makes an allusion to this Gezer. Tosus says, "Hachi Gassid Machlokes Ktanim V'Gdolim D'Vrasa V'Loger Gassid and Divrei Maschal Osa." Tosus says, "Don't have that Gezer. Whatever the Rishon says, don't figure something. It didn't mean they just found made up. Don't have that Gezer. It means there was another Gezer in front of them. They had the manuscript that had the Gezer of Divrei Kol Osa, and Tosus said it's wrong. It can't be. What's Pshat of Lazer Mitz? How could it be Divrei Kol Osa?" So Rabbi Lazar Mitz explains very simple that the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon was when it's a katan, when it's a davar shenem miskaven, but when it's a gadol, when it's a large chair, that's not a davar shenem miskaven anymore. What do you call that? Apsik reisha. So this gemara is just reinforcing the assertion that we spoke about last week that apsik reisha is going to be also. That was Rabbi Lazar Mitz's gears in the
Gemara.
We're getting there. So, Lechara, we have to analyze this gears of the Sefer Yireim, that if it's a psikureisha, it's going to be osur, based on what we started off the shiur by saying. Are we dealing with a d'araisa here, or are we dealing with a d'rabbana here? What would it be if the person made the charitz, the kavana gemura, for the purpose of making a charitz, but used a bed or a chair to make the charitz? So the Gemara at one point said that's only a derabanan, but according to Rashi that was rejected. According to Rashi, Asiyas Charitz, Ayudei, Mita, Kisa, Vesasal is in fact the Diaraisa, whereas according to Tosfos in Maseches Yuma Daf Lama Dalad, that Havamina the Gemara stuff is only a derabanan. Im Tirtzu Lomar that Asiyas Charitz, Ayudei, Mita, Kisa, Vesasal was only a derabanan, then we have a tremendous Chiddush based on this Gemara. What the Gemara is telling us is that Moda Rabbi Shimon Psik Reisha, we spent so much time on last week, not only is it true that Rabbi Shimon is Moda when you have a Psik Reisha that it's Asar, but Rabbi Shimon says there's a principle of Psik Reisha even on a Nisid Rabbanan. Not only is Rabbi Shimon Moda that if I cut the head off of the chicken, that's a Nisid Raisa, so Moda Rabbi Shimon Psik Reisha, that even if the Isser involved is a lower level of Isser, it's only a Nisid Rabbanan, Afa Pichain, Moda Rabbi Shimon Psik Reisha. That's what comes out according to Rabbi Lezer Mimitz's reading of the Gemara. If you assume that Asiyas Charitz Ayadei Mita is only an Issa Derabanan, if you hold that Asiyas Charitz Ayadei Mita is an Issa Deraisa, like Rashi learns, so then you don't have any right from the Lezer Mimitz. So then it's talking about Psik Reisha. So we know Psik Reisha is also, there's no big Chiddush that Psik Reisha is also. But if you hold that Asiyas Charitz Ayadei Mita is only an Issa Derabanan, so then we walk away from this Gemara with Rabbi Lezer Mitz and Girsa and saying, oh, wait a second, that not only is there a principle of Psik Reisha by Isurim Deraisa, there's a principle of Psik Reisha even by Isurim Derabanan.
And if it was a full Psik Reisha, wouldn't you use the Lashon Chayev instead of Asar?
Well, it may be a Psik Reisha, though Michal, as Amar pointed out, but the Gemara says in Daf Kuf Gimel that a Psik Reisha you're not interested in may fall short anyway.
We call it a Karov of Psik Reisha, something like that.
You know, even if it's a real bona fide psikureisha, if it's lo nichale, it's not going to be chayav. So the question is this suggestion that we're giving, is this emes or not? Is this really true? What is the din? Is it ready? Mamash halach lemaisa. We pass like Rabbi Shimon. We pass in doshir miskavet as mutter. But we also pass in that psikureisha is asar. What do we say about a psikureisha on an isser, which gufa is only an isser derabbanan? So Rabbi Lazar admits we know what he has to say. Maybe. What do we have to say about this? So there's a tosis in Shabbos and Afkuf Gimel. It's the same sugya that we spoke about, we spent so much time on last week. The Tosus takes a stand in the Shail as well. Remember we mentioned last week that there was a machlekes between the Aruch and Bali HaTosfos about a psikresha, kukim lomar aleph, about a psikresha, the lo nichalei. What's the halacha if I do action A, which I know will cause action B to take place, and action B is a davar asar, but I really couldn't care less that action B taking place. So we gave the example last week. If I wash the fields that I'm in my own field, and I know it's going to cause the grass to grow in my field, that's a problem. If I wash this dime in your backyard and I couldn't care less whether your grass grows, that's a psikresha de lo nichalei. And according to Tosus, that was still also with the Rabbana, and according to the Aruch, that was mutar lechatchila. So Tosus in the bottom of Kuf Gimel and Aleph is trying to prove who's right. Are we right that psikresha de lo nichalei is totally mutar? Or is the Aruch right that, is the Aruch right that psikresha de lo nichalei is totally mutar? Or are we right that it's still also with the Rabbana? So Tosus quotes, the first little one is Shalom. It's about two-thirds down the Tosfos. Right where it says in the Tosfos, Sukkah Lamigim Lamebei, so up a line from there. But with Perak Lulav HaGozel, Gavi Eimim Ma'atim B'yomtiv, the Gemara quotes in Masechet Sukkah, that if a person has a Hadaf, that has a lot of berries on it, so the din is, if it has more berries than leaves, the Hadaf is possible. So the din is, you're not allowed to take the berries off on Yomtiv, because taking them off on Yomtiv is Mesachin Kli. You take them in the Kli, it's not going to be Patish. The Hadas was no good, and now you're making the Hadas kosher. Mishum Rabbi Lazar v'Shimon Amrum Ma'atin. So Rabbi Lazar v'Shimon says, no, but you are permitted to take the berries off even on Yomtiv. Uparich, the Gemara asks the Kasha, Hakam Mesachin Man. How could Rabbi Lazar say that it's Mutar? It's Tikkun Kli. You're taking a broken Hadas and making it kosher. When Mishani, the Gemara answers, Gion Shaliktam Liachila. If the only time Rav Elazar was not there is if you're taking the berries off for the purpose of eating the berries. You're not interested in being machshav hadas. You want to eat the berries. For davar sheni miskaven mutar. Therefore, it's mutar based on davar sheni miskaven. It happens to be nice and convenient that it's Rav Elazar for Rabbi Shimon. It happens to be Rabbi Shimon's son. So I guess in the cave, they were the ones that were hanging out in the cave together. So the stomach there, Mechadish, this din of davar sheni miskaven being mutar. So Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, it's the same shita. So comes the Gemara and Eich, so Parich, there's all a quote from the Gemara. So about Abayev, Rav Adamich, Rav Ayu, Moder, Rav Shimon, Psik Reisha, Velo Yomos. How can you tell me that it's Mutter, because of Dov Shem Miskavin? This is a classic Psik Reisha, because the person knows by taking the berries off he's going to be Machshav the Hadas. Well, Mashani, the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, the Isdel Shana Charite, that Hocha B'mayaskina, the person has another Hadas. So therefore, he's not really interested in this particular hadas becoming kosher. He bought already his chaznish hadas and he's got them stashed away in their fridge. He wants to eat some berries on Yom Tov. It's true that he's going to be machshav this hadas, so it doesn't matter because he has other hadasim. So it says Tosfos, mashma kiperish aruch. You have to be intellectually honest. As Tosfos, this gemara sounds like the aruch is correct. What's the pshat in the Gemara? If the Gemara thought that it was also because it's a psik ratio, and the Gemara concluded, no, that's a psik ratio, the lo nichalei. So psik ratio, the lo nichalei is not a problem. So Tosfos says we have an open a shot case for the Aruch against us. How do we learn pshat in the Gemara? So Tosfos tries to give you a different deal. We're going to leave that out for now. But three lines from the bottom, Tosfos tells you what they think the pshat in the Gemara is. Miri Shlomar, the also tikun muat kemamiut anovim. Says Tosfos, let's say a guy, the kavana, goes over to the hadas and plucks the berries off. Do they do malacha deraisa? Do they do nisa derabanan? Is that real mach bepatish? So Tosfos claims that's not mach bepatish deraisa. Why not? So Tosfos uses the phrase, it's a tikkun muad. It's a small, insignificant tikkun. What does that mean? So the Mechas Chinuch claims, what Tosfos means is like this. Mach bepatish deraisa means you have a table that lost its leg. You say, pull out a, take a hammer, you take a screwdriver, you make a physical tikkun, and that's called mach bepatish deraisa. You fix something that's halachically broken, means the hadas. What's wrong with the hadas? It has nice berries on it, looks good, tastes good. Elawat, because hilchas lulav dictates that the hadas is possible. That's not a tikkun deraisa. That's only a mach bepatish on a level of the rabbanan. So comes to us and says, the whole mach bepatish, the whole sugi and sukkah from beginning to end is only an issa derabanan. So now what you sowed is the Gemara is telling us that in psikresha delo nichale on an issa derabanan nishkafeluch, that will give in to the Aruch. And the Aruch wanted to be mater psikresha delo nichale even on an issa deraisa. So nothing doing says to us. On issa deraisa you have no right to be mater. But on an issa derabanan, the chiyagav that's mutar. Psikureisha do nichle and issa derabanan, that's okay. So what do you see from Tosfos? See two chiddushim from Tosfos. There is a principle of psikureisha by derabanans. means the Urayim is basically fundamentally right that Psigresha does apply to the Rabbanans, but Taisa has a Chiddush that Psigresha is applied to the Rabbanans provided that Psigresha the Nichaleis. If they're only a Psigresha the Lo Nichaleis, and the whole thing is the Rabbanan anyway, the Chiyagav that's going to be Mutter. There happen to be Rishonim who don't even accept Taisa. Some Rishonim will say, no, they have a different Mishal, the Gemara, Masechah, Sukkah, and even that much they're not willing to concede to Taisa. So there are really three different possibilities for Halacha. What's the status of a Psigresha the Lo Nichaleis? According to the Aruch of Psikresha Dolom Nichalei, even on their Raisa's motto, that was last week's discussion. According to Tosfos, a Psikresha Dolom Nichalei on a their Raisa's also, but on a their Rabbanan's motto. And there are some who say even that's a problem, that a Psikresha Dolom Nichalei is an Ithagomer, no matter what, even on a their Rabbanan is going to be problematic. We'll get to that hopefully later on, considering other malachas. Hopefully we'll come back to this machlokes. But what do we have to extract from this Tosfos? That if you would have a Psikresha de Nichalei, on the Darabana, it's also. I mean, that was the whole shock of the Gemara. Tosfos says the Gemara knew from day one that the Tikkun Ruach, that this Tikkun of the Hadassim, is only in Issa Darabana. And Af Al Pichein, the Gemara was tupling with Psikresha. So you see that there is a principle of Psikresha even by Issa Darabana. So let's just backtrack for a moment, just put everything into perspective. We have a Gemara in Masechah Shabbos on Daf Chavtes that talking about Asiyas Charetz Ayden Mita Kisivas Asol. The Gemara says there's a chiluk between big and little. So Rashi learned his pshat in the Gemara, the Urayim and his gears in the Gemara. What came out according to the Urayim is that Psikresha is a problem by Asiyas Charetz Ayedei Mita. We have Rishonim who say that Asiyas Charetz Ayedei Mita is only Derabana. We have a Tosfos in Yuma, we have a Pashas HaGemara in Masechah Shabbos. So we walked away by saying, put these pieces of information together, Psikresha does make sense by the Rabbanan. There is a concept of Psikresha being Asur, even though the Isser involved is only an Isser the Rabbanan. The only thing is, Tosfos has a little bit of a backtrack. In the end, Tosfos says, true, Psikresha is also by the Rabbanan, but the Medva Memorim, if it's a Psikresha, the Nichalei. Psikresha, the Lo Nichalei by the Rabbanan, they think is Mutter, and that's the Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Lamed Gimel. So comes the Ramah, and makes the following fascinating statement. Comes to Ramah and says, you know, we're not going to take this Tosfos on, we're not going to take this Urayim on, you know, Psikresha by the Rabbanan, if it's Psikresha Nichalei, yeah, it's a problem. The Ramah happens to even be Machman of Psikresha below Nichalei by the Rabbanan, that's a side problem. But comes to Ramah and says, there's an exception to every rule. What's the din in the following case? We have to put ourselves into perspective, put ourselves back in history a couple hundred years. Comes to Ramah and says that in the olden days, so it used to get pretty cold in the houses on Friday night. So the Rishon Rebbe Mechadesh that Amir Le'akom is mutter in order to heat up the house. Why? Because we have a rule that Amir Le'akom is mutter for a Chola She'ein Bo Sakona. A Chola She'esh Bo Sakona even in the Sederai is mutter, but a Chola She'ein Bo Sakona Amir Le'akom is mutter. And the Rishon have a phrase, Maharam Ruthenberg coined the phrase, HaKol Cholim Eitzel Tzina. Everybody gets sick when it's too cold. You sleep in the house all night and it's freezing cold, so you're going to get sick. So what do you have to wait to get sick in order to do the Mir L'Akam? Do the Mir L'Akam to prevent getting sick. So what does it say? An ounce of prevention is worth something about a cure, so something like that. So that was preventative medicine. Maram Mir Ruthenberg was Mechadish that. You're allowed to do a Mir L'Akam to prevent people from getting sick. And that was in fact the practice in Europe. That they used to, where they would try to heat up the houses Friday afternoon with enough wood, but they would sometimes run out, so Friday night they would have to have the guy come and bring it a little bit more wood, throw it to the fire. I was Havara, the Raisa, it doesn't matter, Mir L'Akam is mutter for Chol HaShem B'Sukkah. So somebody came up with a great idea. You know, we can have these goyim coming and heating up our houses on Shabbos, which is technically okay, because Mir L'Akam is mutter for Mekam Chola. Why don't we gain something else out of it? But also, why don't we get a little bit of hot food? Get ourselves a nice cup of tea out of this. Get ourselves a little bit of hot chocolate out of this. So, somebody came up with the following great idea. Let's somehow maneuver that our pots of food that we want, we'd like them to get heated up also, just happens, just by chance, to be in that area, what they used to call the Tanur Beis HaChoref, guess by its name, who knows what its purpose was, in that oven, in that area where they were throwing the fire, the extra firewood, let's have some pots there also. What does that mean? If you ask the guy directly to take the pot and to put it into the fire, Amir L'Akam, maybe on a deraisa, maybe that's a problematic. You can't ask a guy to cook food for you, you may not even be permitted to ask a guy to heat up food for you, but is there? myself. I'm not asking the guy, Chalila the Chalila, to cook the food for us, to heat up the food for us. We're asking the guy to put firewood into the fire for the purpose of heating up the house, which is totally mutter, hakol cholamei tzina. Elowat. It happens to be just by our good luck, because there's a pot of food that's getting cooked up or heated up also. It's a psik reisha. The guy's intention is not to heat up the pot of food. The guy may not even know that the pot of food is there. The guy's intention is to heat up the house, which is taka mutter. Now it's a psik reisha that the food's going to get heated up. So the Ramah says that's okay. That's mutter. The Ramah sanctions this practice that was apparently prevalent in Europe at the time. Question is, how do you understand this? No, the Rebbe Shimon of Psik Reisha. We hold Psik Reisha is also. What kind of story is this? Psik Reisha, all of a sudden everything is mutter. So at first glance, what the Rama would be telling us is that Psik Reisha and the Rabbana, because there's only Emil Yaakov. It's not that the Jews heating up the house. Chalila, if the Jews heating up the house, that would be an issue of their eyes of the heating itself. So we're only dealing in the realm of the Rabbana here. It's only Emil Yaakov. So maybe what the Rama is saying, Emil Yaakov and Psik Reisha is mutter. Can't be, because the Ramah himself paskins that there is no heter of psik reisha under the Rabbanon. That we paskin like this Tosfos, we paskin that it's not a freebie on a psik reisha under the Rabbanon. We paskin like the Arayim, it's not a freebie on a psik reisha under the Rabbanon. And this is not a psik reisha alone, Nichalei. Instead of believe it, this is a psik reisha to Nichalei. Haraya, the Jew maneuvered that the pot of food is going to be there. So what's pshat in this cool of the Ramah? How could it be that a psik reisha and a Emil Yaakov don't mix together, or do mix together to make it mutter? To Lechora, one could say, Alam the Shavart, in the Isra of Amir Yaakov, that the nature of Amir Yaakov means that I'm not allowed to tell the guy to do the malacha. That's what I'm not allowed to do. So here, there's two different malachas that are taking place. There's the malacha of heating up the house, and then there's the malacha of bishul on the food. From the vantage point of the malacha of heating up the house, that's mutter. That's a freebie. Hakol cholamei tzina, cholo shem b'sakonim, Rav Rutenberg was machshir that. I'm also asking the guy to heat up the food. I didn't ask the guy to heat up the food. I didn't ask the guy to do that. It's a psik reisha that what he's doing is called heating up the food, but I didn't ask him to do that. So I didn't do an amir liyakum on something which is a davar ha'asar. So it could be a shot that psik reisha and darabonis is mutter. No, psik reisha and darabonis is also. Tarsus is right on Kuf Gimel. The Urayim is right on Chav Tes. It's a special, unique kula in Huchas Emil Yaakov that it's not shayach to speak about an Isser of Emil Yaakov on the psik reisha. It's a contradiction in terms, because Emil Yaakov means I'm not allowed to tell the guy to do something. Psik reisha means that he's not doing it. Psik reisha means that he's doing action A, which is, in effect, causing action B to take place. If that Hagdara is our correct Hagdara, so Lechor, this is a throwback to what we spoke about last week. We raised the question, what's the nature of psik reisha? What is psik reisha all about? So we have two different birurim. One birurim psik reisha is that when I do action A, so I know that action B is going to take place, so I'm having in mind to do action B also. That was the Baal Batash. Remember, Rabbi Chodim said that was the psychological pshat, that the person's kavana is, yeah, he wants B to take place. The second birurim was a more rigid halachic definition, that action A and action B become one action. It's no longer A and B. The new sum is called A/B. It's a new mice called A/B. So now it becomes a little bit tricky. This svara that we're suggesting that a Emil Yaakov on a psik reisha is totally mutter, does that really make any sense? If you hold that the two actions are two distinct actions, and it's just psychologically in the mind of the guy, so if he has in mind one, he's having in mind the other. But I didn't tell him to do the other. I told him to heat up the house. The fact that the guy happens to be cooking the food, that's not my problem. I didn't do it on merely akum, on the cooking of the food. But if you take the lumda shavar from Rabbi Chon from last week, that there aren't two distinct actions anymore. It's one action called heating house/cooking food. Once you heat up the house in a way that's going to cause a psik reisha of cooking the food, then the halacha declares it's one thing, it's one unit. So what can he tell me in a story that I only did a Emil Yaakov in half the sentence? I didn't do a Emil Yaakov in it. It's the same thing. It's hainu hach. There is no distinction in halacha anymore between the two ma'asim. So it's very hard to try to sell this kula to say that, no, it's a Emil Yaakov only on half, it's not a Emil Yaakov on the other half. So perhaps, if this is the beer in this kula of the Ramah, this may be a throwback to what we spoke about last week. So the ramifications of this Ramah are critical for us. What's it in the following case? Let's say I come home Friday night and I remember the good news that I forgot to unscrew the light bulb in my refrigerator. So obviously for me to open up the refrigerator itself, that's a psigratia. And as we said last week, that may be even a psigratia de michale, because I feel nice, I want that. It helps me when the light bulb is on, I'm able to see the food better. There's some way kakasha. No, it should be a psigratia de lo michale, because I don't want the light bulb to go on because it's Shabbos. I don't want it in Michal Shabbos. So everybody else says, wait a second. So in Cain, there's no such thing as a psigratia de michale. So psigratia de michale and lo michale means you have to ask the person on Tuesday, would you like the light to go on? If the answer is yes, then you have a problem. The answer is no, then maybe it's a psigratia de lo michale. But if the Jew to do it himself, that's out of the question. What about the ask a guy? I'm going to ask a guy, please open up the refrigerator for me. Now, I know full well that this light's going to go on, and you know what? The guy may know also that the light's going to go on. So they said, Mr. Ramal, it should be mutter, because I'm not asking the guy to turn on the light, I'm asking the guy to open up the refrigerator. Oh, what? It's a psigratia that the light's going to go on. Comes Ramon says, there is no such thing as a psikuresha on a miriliakum. Not because there's no psikuresha in the Rabbanans, that can't be, because it's not the way in the Iranians, it's not the way, we have so many rayas out the way, but it's the unique isra of a miriliakum that doesn't, not subject to the isra of psikuresha. So the chara, if you accept that Ramon, which the Ramon himself was willing to sanction that practice, it's not such a far cry to the case of the refrigerator. Maybe Eshel Halak. Maybe one could argue that the refrigerator may be worse. I hate the taste of the refrigerator is worse. So there was a fascinating machlokes between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman about, is the case of the refrigerator light a classic psikuresha or not? So Rav Shlomo Zalman had the following chiddush. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, maybe one can argue, when you have a device that it's built in such a way that opening up the door turn on the light. I mean, that's the way to turn on the light. If you're asking how do you turn on the light in the refrigerator, you open up the door. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's all made that way. When I open up the door of a refrigerator, feel leaving out the guy for a minute. If I would open the door of a refrigerator and the light goes on, that's not a psikuresha of Havara. That's Havara B'Yadayim. That is the way to turn on a refrigerator light. That's Hainuach, that's a Maisa Gomor. It's not that I'm doing the mice of opening the refrigerator and Mela, the light is going on. So you have to pilpul, Madrib, Shim, Sikresha, Nichle, Elon, Nichle, analysis of Shlomo Zalman. Maybe one could argue that since it's all built into the system, that's the way you turn on the light. So that's called a Maisa Mamish of turning on the light. If that's so, when I ask the guy, open up the refrigerator, that is tantamount in halacha to saying, turn on the light. That is tantamount to saying, Amir Yaakov, that's a problem. That's what Shlomo Zalman throws out the possibility. Ramesha, ignore that. Ramesha writes that, Nechatazin, that's a psigratia. That means a classic psigratia. So Ayyadei Yisrael would be also. Ayyadei Goy, at least Shasat Chak, Tzarek Shabbos, whatever grounds the Ramah was willing to be make along in the case of the food in the Tana Beis Achorev, Lechor should carry over to the refrigerator as well. So Lechora, even if we're correct in everything that we're saying, that psigratia under Rabbanan is problematic, but Av HaPichem, psigratia and really Acham is mutter, you have a further machlekes, a Gedolei HaPoskim, a really our generation, where do you draw the line? Is that really a psikuresha? Or do you say this new svada of Shlomo Zalman said, that's considered to be a maisa echad, and it's a davar mechaved, and therefore Mir Yaakov would be shayach. So this chiddush of Shlomo Zalman was nifchadish to me. Actually, it's a maisa shahoya, kachoya. This goes back already, definitely when I was in the Heights, but I have a feeling it was before I was married in the Heights. Because it never happened late on a Friday night in the Beis Medrash. So probably a good smart that it was before I got married. So I remember I was in the Beis Medrash, and somebody walks into the Beis Medrash late at night on Friday night, that they realized they forgot to take the keys out of the car. The car was parked on 187th and Amsterdam, and they didn't think it was going to be a good scene if they didn't leave their keys in the car for the rest of the night. So the question was, can we, and to boot, the car was open. So you know, it was visibly able to get into. So the question was, can we ask a guard, can we ask one of the security guards to open up the car door and take out the keys, whatever, lock the door, is that a problem or not? So we have to pilpul about tiltul muktza yaday, akom, lukhlish blachtali yasar, tzarech, a lot of things to talk about in terms of that. But the question that was the real root of the problem, real issue was, the light's going to turn on. And you ask the guy to open up the door, So that's going to be, it's going to do a havara, which is a shalva deraisa. So that's a shalva that immediately afam on a deraisa. That was a question that was presented to us late night in the basement. So my initial reaction was, it's mutter, it's the Rambam, the Tana Beis HaChoref, that a psikureisha on a mir yachm is mutter. I'm not asking the guy to turn on the light of the car, I'm asking the guy to open up the door. The fact that the light is going on, whether it's nichle or lo nichle, doesn't really make a difference. It's a psikureisha on a mir yachm, which is not shayach, to be awesome. So at that point, somebody in the Beis Medrash said to me, no, that Rav Shlomo Zalman has a suffix, it's night there, that maybe that's not called a psikureisha, that's called a dover and mechavin mamish. I said, I've never seen that Tzaka Ha'or in Shmir Shabbos Gilchas, he quotes this from Rav Shlomo Zalman. I said, I thought Rav Eish has a tshuva about this, where he writes that he assumes the Dabba Pasha, that's a psikureisha. So we were pulling out. I was tying it to psikureisha like Rav Eish, and this other fellow was tying that it's a dover mechavin mamish, and therefore there's a problem with Mir Yaakov. Rumal Nebuch, the poor guy, standing there watching this is going on. By the time I said, I think Kedai, somebody shouted upon him anyway, it's only a worst case, it's only a Mir Yaakov. I thought Kedai Ramayshal Ismaichal of Shasot Chaf, you can go get your car door open. Anyway, it was a moot question by the time we got there, because the car had already been, whatever was there was already removed. So I said, I think the good news was that it could be that it was a Shim Shikaz, but the light was gone anyway. So it's a new chum, we have to unplug your refrigerator light before Shabbos, you have to unplug your car light before Shabbos in order to be ready to, in case you want to take anything out of your car on Shabbos. Anyway, I called Bunim just to get a little bit of give us just a little bit of an understanding as to everything that we talked about tonight revolves around that one line of the Gemara. HaChoretz, the Choretz is included in Choresh, and meet the Kitz of the Safra is an example of Choretz, and the Gemara says it's only to Rabbanim, HaChoretz, Rashi, and Taisus, but if the Gemara really meant it, Lamaskana, then how to read that whole Gemara, Masech Zuma depends on that, Rabbi Kiveg is tremendous Chiddush, that Davashin and Miskaven is the Teresophic, not the Teres Vada, in order to be the Yashiv Shittus Rashi. Then we had the Gears of Rabbi Lazvi Mitz, the Katanim and the Gedolim, which opened up our eyes in terms of Psikvesha by the Rabbanim, and even though Taisus qualifies a little bit Psikvesha by the Rabbanim, they basically accept the principle that there is a problem of Psikvesha by the Rabbanim. The only Rabbanim where it doesn't apply is a Mir Yaakov, perhaps based on the Lubbus that we said, maybe that is a Lubbus, there's another beer for it. And then the final application, the Ramesh from Shlomo, practically speaking, what constitutes the case of a psikureisha, what constitutes the case of the Dovah Shem.